Well, we're going back in tonight again to Galatians. Hallelujah. The letter of the Galatians, we're still into the second chapter. We're at the end of the second chapter. We got overspent a bit of a time because Paul talking about the law. We went quite a bit of an explanation about the law and what the whole law consists of, what the law is about, who the law was for. We found out the law today concerning the church, it isn't for the believer. The law is for the unbeliever. We found from the scripture standpoint, we won't go back through all of that. But we all did talk about the limitations of the law. The law was had limitations. We found out from a scriptural standpoint, you can't be justified or made righteous through the law. That can't happen. And the law can't do that. The law can't give you life. It can't provide the Holy Spirit. Can't do that. Paul's talked about it. And also through the law does not produce miracles. Those things don't happen under the law. So the law has its limitations. And the reason we got looking into the law was because of the Apostle Paul dealing with Peter on his when some of the these religious Jews came up from James and to Antioch and caused some problems there and that stuff, Paul just directly told Peter about what he was doing, separating himself from the Gentile believers, and so. Remember, when we're dealing with the Galatian letters, we're dealing with the Galatian letter because these Galatians, the churches in Galatia, because of these religious people, they were getting them to turn away from faith and getting them back to the law. One of the things they were getting involved in, the major thing, was they had to be circumcised to be saved. But the whole thing of it is faith in Christ is not enough. And we need to understand, I mean, when you deal with the areas of works, the church really gets mixed up in this area of works. And they get over into the things where they start promoting works to be saved. And works, you know, we're set apart, the Bible says, for good works, to do good works. But you can't be saved by the good works. The good works we do are because we're saved, not to get saved. It's because we're saved. And so people get over and try to do good works. They think if I do good works and I just gain brownie points, you know, with God, and then I'm all right if I got these. What happens is people don't walk by faith. And this is an important thought. If you don't know how to walk by faith, it don't matter what all the good stuff you do and what happens. Even for a Christian, many Christians do their good works to be liked by God. They do their good works and things, and that's they're not doing it by faith. Really, it's a legalism that they're following. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote here in the second chapter, and we're going to pick up at verse 18. We came up to that point. Paul says this to the Galatian churches, which he's writing to. He said, "For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." So in other words, if I'm building again the things which I destroyed, I become a transgressor. Well, a transgressor is really, that's dealing with the areas of sin. In other words, I'm transgressing against the Word of God. I'm going against the Word of God in what I'm doing, trying to build again. And really, that's what's happening. These people, they got saved, but now they're pushing over the areas of works. And so now they're trying, like any religious person, trying the righteousness by works. He talks to them about that. He said, "For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God." He said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." So, I mean, and he's telling these people, in other words, them going back over to going to legalism, then, and if that would help them in salvation, there was no point for Christ to go to the cross. There was no point of what he did. If the righteousness of men could work. So Paul's talking about the law being destroyed in his life. Through faith in Christ Jesus, the law's destroyed in our life. And so he said, so it would be a sin to try to rebuild it. It's a sin to try to bring the law back in. And a lot of Christianity doesn't, you know, Christians don't realize that. I mean, they don't understand. You take a person who gets into legalism, you told them what they were doing was sin. May they be so mad at you because, oh, you know, this is their good works and this is what they bought the fact of. I'm doing these wonderful things. I'm doing this stuff, and I'm doing all these things. So I got all my Browning points in a row here and that stuff. And they don't realize it's not a faith. And what the Bible says, whatever isn't a faith is sin. The Word says it. New Testament. So they're not walking in the justification they have that God gave them through Christ, which they could never earn. They're always trying to earn it. I've done these good things, therefore I've earned it. So the law brings spiritual death, not spiritual life. It brings spiritual death. No one yielding over to legalism and that stuff, it does nothing but work into death. That's all it does. It takes the life out of everything. Because it sets up all these standards, the standards of men that you got to do to meet, to qualify. And what happens is nobody qualifies but them. But it brings death. Now, he made this statement. He said he's been crucified with Christ, and you need to understand this. You have been crucified with Christ. We're not going to be. You have been crucified with Christ. See, you're identified by faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, not by works. You're not identified in your works that you've been crucified. It's by your faith in him. So, we need to understand this. We are not trying to crucify the old man. I hear so many people say this stuff about, the old man. Now, the old man is already dead with Christ. He's dead. Here's one thing is why people never rise to a place of faith and have a hard time. Because most people are physical. All they see themselves as physical beings. Is you got to get over and see yourself as a spiritual being. Most people will live their whole life. They won't live by faith. They will live by what is going on in the outside. They see themselves. They judge themselves. This is what legalism does. Legalism will always have you identifying with the outer man. It's just like the Jew. The law was given to show man that he couldn't follow God. So the Jew comes along and says, now to these Gentiles, now you guys got to come over. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to get circumcised or you're not going to be saved. You have to do that. Now, it's an interesting thing because the woman isn't circumcised, then what, is she going to hell or what? Well, I mean, what are these people going to? I mean, you have to identify, religious people, and just get this, they never think anything out to the end. Never. They never looked at to see how ridiculous the things that they're doing. Because if they did, they followed out the end and say, this don't make sense. But they never do. Is one of the things that they're dealing with is this. Religious people are usually yielded to religious spirits. They're demonic spirits. And they have yielded to them. And they yield to those spirits. Now think about this. If the law was a schoolmaster to lead people to Christ, and the Jews, the Messiah comes along, and generally the majority of Jews rejected him. The majority of the Jews had yielded to religious spirits and therefore couldn't even see anymore what God was doing. They couldn't even see it anymore. And today in Christianity, in fact, I'd listened to it before, but coming up here, I was listening to Randy Greer talking about religious spirits and how they've dominated the church in America. The church in America is full of religious spirits. The people, religious, and I mean, they've gotten into the spirit-filled people, full of religious spirits. We got religious, they call religious leaders. We got God's leaders that people think are wonderful people. And they yield to more religious spirits in a little bit. People don't know it. People can't identify it. You get away from spirituality. You get away from the things of the spirit. When I came into the kingdom, really, Brother Hagin was dealing a lot with the things about your identity of who you are in Christ. And one of the big things was Brother Hagin used to talk about you being a spirit being. That's what you are. You have a body. He said, you're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Now, today, most people, even in a Christian, with spirit-filled Christians, their body is the main thing. That's the number one. The body is always number one. And so then they're sitting around trying to renew their mind. Well, you can't be body-oriented. And if you renew your mind, you're going to renew your mind toward your body. That's what you're going to do. It's being spiritually minded. It's one thing is I've always done the thing, and it's one thing is I've always it's been really helpful for me to pick up things in the spirit. I've always considered myself a spiritual being, and I view as I'm spirit. My born again, I am born again. My human spirit, that's the real me. It's not this outside. This is not the real me. This is why people can't get healed. Because they're all their focus. Divine healing does not come from the physical. It does not. It don't come from the physical. It's like Jesus told Brother Hagin. Divine healing, he said, divine healing is about the help of anything natural. And naturally doing. Nothing has nothing to do with the has nothing to do with the doctor. Don't have anything to do with that. People have a hard time with that. It's because it's just like with these people here. Paul comes along and teaches them spiritually. Guys came along and offered them something physical, and they're buying it. Why? Men become people. People love to follow the physical. They love to follow the flesh. They love because it's easy. It's easy just to look at what you see going on around you. It's easy to talk about how you feel. It's easy to do all that thing. It isn't easy to stop and say, look at those all around you and say, you know, I'm going to follow my eyes. People follow their eyes. They love to. They love to follow their feelings. They love it. When people feel lousy about things, they still love to follow the lousy. They love it. They love talking about the bad stuff. They love following the lousy feelings. And they love... It's sick. That's all the flesh is going to do. Life is what you got in your spirit. No matter how much, what's your life you got in your spirit, if you follow the outer man, you'll never know you have any in you. You follow what's on the inside. The inside's life. It's like with Paul writing here, he's talking about himself being dead. Say, so what we do, the Bible tells us to do this, to crucify the flesh. We don't crucify the old man. There ain't no old man. The old man's dead. That's why I'm very careful about what I listen to and people talk about these guys. And I'll tell you, loads of ministers, they talk about, the old man tries to rise up. I have heard even some of the best ministers. They'll say, the old man tries to rise up. How does a dead guy rise up? God didn't kill him good? It's like, come on. The old man doesn't try to rise up. The flesh. You're dealing with the flesh. In other words, so this is one thing. This is why in the day and age we live, we have so much trouble. And we know this, that the church has basically followed the world and the world. Because the world today, everything's about the flesh, about how you look, how you feel. Everything's geared toward that. And the church has done the same thing. They're trying to be the beautiful people. They're trying to be, and they become spiritually ugly. They're spiritually ugly. They're trying to follow something from the outside. Instead of crucifying the flesh, we pamper the flesh. Now, it's nothing about taking care of your flesh, but the idea that your flesh can't come first. It cannot. It can't be the first thing you do. You know, it's like today is people, all the stuff that they do to take care of their flesh, and are always doing all the stuff all the time to take care of their flesh. And it's number one, you can take care of your flesh, and devil will kill you anyhow. So, he knows how to run over you with a truck. He knows how to do that. So we don't crucify the flesh. So understand this. I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about this and saying this. And when I was a young Christian and I got a hold of it, because people use this, you know, trying to deal with their self. And also, you know, they're trying to get rid of self. We're not. The scripture don't tell you get rid of self. You have a new self. You're a new person, a new self. See, what they do is they're trying to get rid of self. Instead of doing, follow what the Scripture says. The Scripture tells us to crucify the flesh, deal with the flesh. It tells us in Colossians, in the third chapter, what to put on and what to take off. It deals with the things that you put on spiritually and you take off concerning the flesh. It deals with you in those things, and that's what the church is supposed to do. But the church has followed the gurus of the world and, you know, taken on the doctrines of the world and brought it into the church, and they're trying to do all this stuff. You know, and it's talking about self and all this kind of stuff and things. And, you know, it's one thing. We're dealing with the problem today is people's selfishness. And what's that? That's people dominated by the flesh. You know, Christians get dominated by the flesh. If they followed the real new self that they are, they wouldn't do that. So, you know, is understand that. We're dealing with the areas of bringing our flesh under. The life that Paul said, I now live, he lives by faith in the Son of God. This is the life after the new birth. We live by faith in the Son of God. That's the life that we live. That is the life. The life that we live is the life of faith. He lives by faith of the Son of God. In other words, we as believers shouldn't have another life. We're not supposed to have another life. That's our life, is to live by faith of the Son of God. In other words, listen, faith comes by the inward man. I can't walk in the flesh all the time. Now understand, we're not talking about, what I'm talking about is walking in the flesh, is living is dominated by what the flesh does and what the flesh is doing and thinking and whatever else. Looking around, judging things by how what I see. You know, this is why we have the Word of God. The Word of God, Jesus said, my words are spirit and are life. Looking at the Word says this about situations. I don't care how it looks. It's like today, I understand why the church don't really preach about sin, because they think everybody's basically nice. Now, the Bible talks exactly the opposite difference. You know, people ain't saved, they're children of the devil. Oh, not the church. Oh, we'd never say, oh, we don't say things like, see, we don't live by faith. That's living by faith as the Son of God, is looking out here and seeing what the real problems are. This is what the real problem is out. You know, the people you work around, most of them belong to the devil. That's their problem in life. And most of the Christians you're around, they yield to the devil all the time. That's the problem. But see, Christians won't talk and say that. They won't. Oh, no, we don't have nothing to do with that. No, they're a nice person. They really try well, and they're doing a terrible job. They don't know nothing about God, the Christians. We don't deal with nothing. We're out here in this little la-la trying to be this, what we call love people. You know, sit down, look at Jesus. I mean, look at Jesus. You know, he said, I didn't come being priest but a sword. He comes along and preaches a sermon, everybody leaves. He didn't change his sermon. Not like today. But Christians have this weakness, and the weakness is this. I want everybody to like me. My flesh can't take it when things don't go right. I just, you know, I have to have everything so nice, peace and gentle around me. We can't live by the strength. We got strength on the inside, but it never gets to operate. It never gets to do anything. Because the life of faith, when I learn to live by faith, I don't have to live in fear of all that stuff, of what other people think or what other people say. People are not going to be saved. I mean, we got loads of people in so-called Christianity today, and I'm not talking about out here with the Presbyterians who believe, you know, homosexuality is all right. I'm talking about in the Spirit-filled. They aren't even saved. They're not even saved people. They just come along and they join it because they, you know, it's a nice bunch, and they have a nice, good, positive message, and it really sounds nice. But they've never changed. They don't change lives. They've never become changed people. And see, we can't, because you can only have what you preach. People can't get saved preaching a gospel that God don't judge anything. That God, you can't get saved from that. You can't get, it won't happen. You're going to produce whatever you preach. We're to live by faith in the Son of God, and this is what Paul's talking about. When those people left that, they got into legalism. Where are they going to go to from here? Well, it ain't going to be good if they stay on that path. Nothing's going to turn out well. Nothing for them is going to do well heading in a direction, getting religious. All of a sudden now we're going to become righteous, we're going to become holy and whatever, by the flesh. We started out on a life of faith, but now, you know, we don't have that life of faith. And I found this out to be, you know, really interesting. I remember back when Kenneth Hagin, years ago, when I first started listening to him, and, you know, he would tell some of his stories of experiences that he had, you know, along the way and that stuff. And I remember him telling a story about a minister who had a guy come in to speak. And he said, this guy come in, and he said, you know, he was like, I guess, in for a week or more speaking. But he said, his first nights and number of nights he spoke, he said this stuff was good and that stuff. But then he started talking some things, and he said, I just didn't know about this guy's things that he was saying. So he said, I talked to him after this one service. I talked to him and said, now, you're saying certain things, but where are you getting this from? He goes, could you show me that in the Bible? And the guy said, oh, I'm out beyond that. Well, what he did, though, but this guy, yeah, he got out beyond that, but what he did is he caused a whole bunch of trouble in the church, and then he ended up having a church split over this because a bunch of people followed this guy. But I thought this was the most interesting, was the fact that Kenneth Hagin, you know, talked with this man. It's very interesting. None of the baby Christians followed the guy. None of the baby Christians, because, and Brother Hagin talked to some of these baby Christians and asked them why they didn't follow after this man. And they said, we just got a sense something was wrong. We didn't know what it was. They said, they didn't know enough about the Bible to know what it was. But they said, we got a sense something was wrong with this guy. Something wasn't right. And I want you to understand is one of the things that I remember hearing that, and the Lord showed me over time. Now, dealing in the areas of some big-name ministers, I know some big-name ministers, and I mean some personal things about getting off in left field. I mean personally. I'm not talking about hearsay somebody said. I'm talking about I know personally. And I found this out. It's the most amazing thing to me. The big names seem to get off into things quicker than anybody. They seem to follow things off. And I used to wonder about that. Why? What happens? What happens to you? So, I mean, I've gone along in my Christian walk over time, and I know now what happens. It goes on. And this is why people, you can walk in certain areas of life in your Christian life that will cause you to develop. And sometimes people get big followings and that stuff, and the anointing on them is strong. But there's other areas of their life they don't develop. And what happens to them when they get to be big names? They follow the big name. And after a while, it just means a lot to have the crowd. It means a lot to have the thing. And after a while, they're doing things for the crowd. They're doing things, and they're not listening to the inside anymore. They don't listen to it anymore. And some of them get over to things, and they get religious spirits. And they think they don't have to answer to certain things because they're the big one. What the common guy has to do, they don't have to. And I've seen it personally happen. And when you're around these things and you see these things going on, is one thing as I've learned over time is listening. I mean, and one of the things like Randy Greer talked about, he made mention. I've heard him talk a couple times about this. And one of the things that happened, he talked about in occasions where, I mean, things were really wrong out in left field on that, and none of the big name people he was around, none of them knew it. They none of them picked it up, and he picked it up. And I know what that's like. And first couple times it happened to me, I said stuff to other ministers around and found out that they don't want to hear none of that. You know, they're the big name, and you don't say anything against the big name. The big name's always right. So I learned to keep my mouth shut and let them all get in trouble. That's what you do. You just let them hang to dry unless God tells you to do something. Just let them out in their thing. And I don't know. But it's listening to things in the Spirit. And I've wondered about some of these things. That was really interesting here, not yesterday, the day before. I do some walking and running. I've been doing a little bit here and there. I haven't been doing it all the time, but going out and doing some. But I got out. And when I get out there, I'll get doing stuff. I'll talk to the Lord some about the things. And I got over and the spirit of prophecy came on me, and I began to say some things while I was out. And I realized over here, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord started speaking to me about a big-name minister. Because I'd asked the Lord a question one time about the direction some of the things this person is going. And he explained to me why this individual got into where they are, but also another minister. It was a minister that I sat under when I was at Rhema, who really God had plans to use to a very powerful way and has used him in some ways a very powerful way. But the Lord said to me, he said, he's limited now what I can ever use him for. Now, he's a big name. But he said, very limited what I can use him for, because he said he got hooked up with this other big name minister that he hooked himself up under. And he said, he got under in that area, and now he said he's caught under that area because now he's following under that. And he said he's caught there, and he said he's going to just keep following that. And he said, I had plans to use him for things, but he said, I'm not going to be able to. I won't be able to use him. And so this individual has limited themselves in what God's going to wanted to use that person for. I mean, this person was very close to Brother Hagin, but now ain't gonna use. God can't use him. The Lord said, and see, I had seen some of this going on, but I'd never, I just sort of sensed some stuff, and I just didn't say anything. Is another thing. I would never say anything because a lot of people, hold these people highly, and you say something to them about them, and they'll stone you. They'll take you out and crucify you. But I just thought the Lord spoke to me about it because we're really dealing with problems today because ministers are not being led by the Spirit of God. And, and I thought about this because the Lord told me about this, and I thought about what Ryan Greer said. The Lord had told him about if he would have got hooked up under this one group, that if he'd have got hooked up, he said, I'd have never been able to use you for what I wanted. Because what happens is you get under there and after a while you gain a following because of what you're hooked to. But what you're hooked to is wrong. And what people don't realize, there's a lot of big stuff out here that's wrong. And people get hooked under it. And what happens? And I see people do it. These people's followers, they're just the same way. They become the same way. You can't correct. You can't say anything about it. You can't say nothing because what happens? They're following a person, not the Spirit. And if the person's out of line, they follow the person and follow right out of line with them. Brother Hagin used to warn us about that. He said, you can follow a man's anointing, but don't you follow him. You follow him too close. He said, the mistakes he makes, you'll make. It's just like Dowie and that stuff years back and that stuff. Dowie was, God used him in a powerful way. But till this day, people who come out from his followers and that stuff are still in the same error that he got into because they followed the man and not the anointing. It's like with Brother Hagin. People say, I follow Brother Hagin. I ain't following Brother Hagin. I'm following the word he taught. It's the word. You follow the anointing of the things about the truth. Brother Hagin was a man. Brother Hagin wasn't perfect. There's certain things about his family he should have corrected, and he never did. He made some mistakes. But I'm going to tell you what, he preached for the word was truth. It's like Jesus told the people, he said, concerning the Pharisees, he said, you listen to what they say. Don't do what they do, but listen to what they say. Because if what they're saying is the word, you better be listening to it. So you have to, people need to know that. See, this is, you can tell about people that are fleshly. People that are fleshly, they follow the man. They follow by looking at the outside. They like, what's going on the outside. And nobody can ever say nothing about their man. Nobody can ever disagree with the man. That's not. Well, if you didn't disagree with somebody on something, well, you ain't never lived. I'll tell you what, something wrong with your brain, you ain't, something matter with you. I never met anybody, just like Randy Grizz, and I perfectly, he'll be the first one. But I follow what he teaches is good and sound and right. And I'm going to follow that. I'm going to follow. If Randy gets all based, that's too bad. The word's right. He does or not. And that's what we do. We follow. And nobody's perfect. And when you follow somebody too close, which we learned from Brother Hagin, you follow too close, you end up getting into things, you'll end up in trouble. Because a person gets off and left field, you end up trampling off after it instead of bringing it back to word. And that's one thing I always love about Brother Hagin. He used to always, if I say something, do something, he says, make sure that there's scripture for it. He said, go look the scriptures to make sure that what I'm saying is right. And that's what you do because he warned us about those things. So when it comes down to religion, that's what we want. I mean, people get hooked and they get hooked in a denomination and they follow the denomination. They follow this. They follow that. Everything but what God tells us to follow. They're not following that. Let's follow the Word of God. Everybody will make mistakes. Nobody knows it all. But you stay with the Word of God. That's what keeps you. It's like with me. That's what I found out works. I follow the Word of God. And you can tell. I remember Brother Hagin saying one time, he talked about just in the areas of the move of the Spirit, which just really goes along with Paul talking to them about, the Holy Spirit moves by faith. And faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Brother Hagin, I remember him telling about he got over and there wasn't much of an operation of the gifts of the Spirit. It wasn't going on in the church world. It wasn't going on, and he didn't have it like in his meetings as much, and things were going on. So he asked the Lord one time, he said, Lord, why don't we have a move of the Spirit? Why isn't things going on? And the Lord said, because you don't preach a word. Well, Brother Hagin said, I got offended. God told me he didn't preach a word. And the Lord said to him, he said, oh, he said, you got, you know, like, you know, 65% word, but he said you got, you know, like 20% religion you threw in there. You know, you believed in a denomination you go with, and then you got a percentage of this. And he went on to tell him this stuff. And he said, the signs follow the word, and people need to understand that. That's what the signs follow the word. So we know this, that a lot of the main ministries and stuff, they don't have signs. All they have is talk. And the reason is because the word's not being preached. When the word's not preached, people can't come to faith. The Bible, and you've heard me say this many times, and I'm going to say it again and again and again. The Bible only considers believing the word of God faith. It don't say, your faith, what you're believing, is other than the word of God. God don't call what you believe faith. Do you know a Jew's not in faith? Because they don't believe on the Messiah, so they're not following the word of God. They're not in faith. Now some people say, well, let's talk about different faiths. Well, there's all kinds of different faiths. There's only one faith to God. One faith. The Bible even says in the New Testament, one faith. There's only one faith. The rest of it is unbelief. The rest of it is unbelief. So keep yourself tied on there, believing the right things, staying hooked up on the right things. You're in the right path. You realize this. You're the minority. Today you're sitting in a world where you're a minority. Even in the Christian, the Spirit-filled world, I'm just amazed what goes on out there and that stuff, the things that are said and done. Randy Greer was talking about some new kind of stuff come along where they call it this some kind of music, and it's not singing, it's some kind of electronic music, that this is the next greatest move in God's, you know, in the Spirit and all that stuff. This move, this electronic, and it'll make you dance, and it'll make you do, and you know, well, dancing in the Spirit don't necessarily have to do anything to do with music. And see, this is the whole thing of what it is. What they're doing is they're bringing the stuff in from the world. They're bringing it in. I mean, this is Spirit-filled. This is not people. This they call Spirit-filled. Right now, the Spirit-filled church, probably a quarter of it is actually Spirit-filled, and the other quarter of the Spirit-filled church has been yielding to demonic spirits, calling it the Spirit of God. We're following the Spirit of God is what we're following. And you can't follow the Spirit of God without following the Word. That's what you do. There is no some kind of new music out there no scriptural basis for anything like that. But it's like the world. We want something new. We don't like what we have as old. We got to have something new. We got to keep bringing new things in because the flesh does not like the same thing. The flesh always has to have something. The flesh is a discontent. And when the flesh rules, it's going to always have to have something new or it's never happy. It can't be happy. So we don't, you can tell that when your flesh, you know, dealing over the years of flesh, you have to get, flesh always has to have more and more and more of something to satisfy itself. It can never be, it's never happened. That's why people can't rest, can't sit around. You know, it's one of the things people talk about being so busy, and we're in such a busy generation. It's because if people stand still, they're completely unhappy because they're afraid they might hear something in their spirit because what they'd hear they wouldn't like. So if I keep moving and I let my flesh be noisy enough, I don't have to deal with my ugliness. And I'm serious. You know, I found this out over the years. There's sometimes Christians, and I'm dealing with the areas of Christians, sometimes Christians stay noisy. They don't want to get around much of praying and too close to God because of what they know they're going to hear, and they don't. People don't realize that. They think, oh, you know, they want to do good. No, there's some Christians don't want to do good. They don't want to get too close to God because they're going to hear what they don't want to hear. They know it's true, but they don't want to. So if I stay noisy enough all the time, I don't have to listen to that, and my flesh is happy. And I can always hear somebody just tell me, oh, you're all right, you're okay, you believe in Jesus. Yeah, you believe in Jesus. Now in Galatians, the third chapter, Paul's talking to these Galatian folks, because all this going up on down here. They left faith. Because, see, faith, you can't not walk by faith and have peace and joy. You can't have that. You can't. You can't walk and live in righteousness. And you're not doing, because it surely requires faith to do that, because man's works are never going to be perfect. So it's only a place that's a walk of faith. Now he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to know." So he's going to ask them some questions. I only want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Spirit? Was it the works of the law or the hearing by faith? Now understand this. So we know this. Doing good deeds can't give you the Spirit. I've heard people say, well, my last kid growing up just getting saved. You know, if you give up your bad life and call on Jesus, he'll save you. Well, I couldn't give up my bad life. I need to call on Jesus to get rid of my bad life. That's what I needed to do. Religion's operating exactly opposite. It's all this, what you have to do so God can accept you. And that's what it's always pushing for. And the calling of faith. So, but he says what? By the hearing of faith. In other words, just think about this. Just like I'm doing it. By the ministry of the word, faith comes to you. When faith comes to you of what the word says, you can receive things from God. That's how we get things from God. You don't get them based upon your great works. We get them. You know, if we want to have good, this is one thing. If you want to have good performance in your Christian walk, you want to walk in the good works that you have because of faith, well, then develop your faith. And you'll learn how to walk right. You develop your faith. That's how you do it. We do it by faith. We don't do it by just willpower to go do this and go do that. Because you do, you know, it's just like a lot of Christians. What a lot of Christians do, they do their works and they expect payment from God. That ain't how you get things from God. You get things from God because He's good and He said He was going to give it to you. We have a covenant that's based on promise. It's not based on works. And that promise, God promised us things, and we get them because He said He was going to give it to us. And He loves it, the fact that you just believe He's going to give it to you because He said so. That's what He loves. Works doesn't operate. Religion don't operate. Religion operates over totally on the areas of performance. There's something that you have to do that will get God to do that for you. And this is why a lot of people, I think a lot of Christians don't bother following with God, because they can't do all these things that they believe they have to do to get God to like them. You know? It's like what we do to the sinner. We tell the sinner, you know, we go to the sinner and say, well, you know, you got to ask Jesus to forgive your sin. Well, really, in a sense, in other words, you got to do this works and He'll save you. So we tell him. Instead of we're preaching to him and say, He's already forgiven your sin. He's not holding it against you. You know that? You can accept Jesus. He took care of your sin problem. Now all you need to do is receive Him. If you receive Him, you can be saved. No, that's what we tell them. I've sat and listened to ministers trying to convince somebody who would say to them, well, I don't believe the Lord can forgive me. I've done too many bad things. Oh, He loves you so much and all this. No, go through all this rigmarole. Unscriptural. But they believe it's scriptural because it fits their narrative. As I've told you guys before, I always smile at a person and just say, well, it's too late. I already forgave you. So you might as well get over that one. It don't matter. You think you did so bad He wouldn't forgive you. It's too late. He did. He already took your sin. He died for him. He took your punishment in hell. If you end up in hell, you're going to end up there not because of your sin. You're going to end up there because of not receiving Christ. Because God already took care of your sin. Now see, isn't that good news? That's the word gospel. The stuff we have preached today, a lot of it's not gospel. It's not good news. It's not good news. It's not going to go do another feat to get God to take care of me. Like, oh my God, He's so much better than that, isn't He? Hallelujah. This only I want to know, he said. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now listen, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? He asked them the question. Oh. Now, you began this in the Spirit. God saved you. You know you're born again. These guys come along and say, oh, no, you're not. In other words, if I'd have died yesterday and I hadn't wasn't circumcised and I went to hell, then what was all this thing about Jesus wasn't cracked up to be what it was? What Paul's doing is what I talked about before. When you take what they say and carry it out to the end to see where it ends up, it's foolishness. It's stupid. You know, you got to be baptized in water to be saved. It's stupid. It's foolishness. Listen to this. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? What it was, they were being persecuted for being Christians, and here on top of it, they're told now they ain't saved, they need to get... Well, what is all this persecution you got for if you weren't saved? Why were you... Oh, nonsense. He said, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How does he do it? You get over among the religious people. Do they have the work? Do you see miracles, works of the Spirit? No. You never see them among them. They're not doing that. That's not what they are. Because why? They believe God performs it because of their great works. It's just like doing the charismatic renewal where I would hear ministers and stuff. Well, you know, they didn't believe that the Catholics or the Methodists and different ones, they couldn't believe that they would get filled, God was filling them with the Holy Spirit. Because, well, if he'd do that, he'd be doing all over here in our church. Well, see, the whole reason they were saying that, there wasn't none of that going on in their church. They were religious. And they didn't realize. They had gotten religious, so the Spirit couldn't move there. And this is what's happening. We know today there's a lot of religiousness in the Spirit-filled church because the Spirit stopped moving. There's a lot of religiousness has gotten in. And really, they formed another kinds of religion. They, you know, a lot of it has a lot of carnality in it, but all religion does. You know, it's all got a lot of crazy stuff. Really, the word foolish here that he used, this word means a lack of forethought or caution, resulting from or showing a lack of sense. It's unwise, or it means stupid. Actually, does mean stupid. Now, bewitched here, that means to be misled by deception, appearance, to be what you're not, and so to charm, bewitched by fascination or hypnotized, it can mean. So, Paul, in the things that he asked, he talked about receiving the Spirit. So, the work of the Spirit... He's talking about the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit in the new birth. In other words, the new birth took place in them. They had received the Spirit of God, and they had done that by faith and not by the works of the law. Really, and Paul's saying to them, it's stupid to think that you got saved by faith, but now it takes works of the flesh to mature into salvation. And see, that's one of the greatest mistakes. If God requires me to do things, and I'm so glad, and after having a good teacher, really, Kenneth Hagin, I came to the understanding if I had to develop and grow, I had to somehow, you know, reach some epitome myself to get to a place where God could, power would work in me to change me. I started thinking, well, if I had to do that, then I don't need God. And see, people, that's why, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, God doesn't always want to, I've heard people say over the years, you know, to always fill people with the Spirit right away. You don't want to do that because, you know, he wants the person to mature more and that stuff and things. I've heard people, I need to mature more. In fact, I had a friend of mine who actually lives in Western Pennsylvania now. I've known he was a Rhema graduate and I knew him for years and that stuff. And he's going to a church now that's a lot of seeker friendly. And he's in the ministry, but he's in there in that church and I'm watching him and I was talking to him and I just... getting over, he's gotten in with a group and he's becoming it. And but anyhow, you know, he talked about one of the guys who was in his church, and he comes out of a Catholic background, and he's been in his church for a while now. And he's sitting and telling me, he's talking to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and getting this guy filled with the Spirit. Well, this guy, he's just not ready for that. He needs to come to a place. And I just kept my mouth shut. I just thought, you know what he needs? Somebody spiritual to talk to him, and you ain't the one. He needs to understand he don't have to develop to nothing to get it. You can get that being the baby of all babies as a Christian. You can get filled with the Holy Ghost. Dear Lord, I didn't have to come to some great spirituality to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I found out I need to get filled with the Holy Ghost to get spiritual. That's what I found out. It's stupid. But see, and he's sitting there going along like he thinks he's being some loving guy. He's being an idiot. He said to me about coming preaching the church, and I told him, I said, if God tells me you can come. He's got to talk to me real good to get me. I don't need that junk. We don't need to sit around unless, because it's the wrong spirit. It's the wrong thing. And I've watched it over the years. Now I watch people do that out of compromise and trying to be nice. Tell the person the truth. Now God wants you to have that right now. You ain't going nowhere till you get it. if you want to take a step higher, you need to go there. What the person's probably dealing with, all he needs is dealt with a demon dealing with him. Brother Hagin talked about lots of times in dealing with people in the Holy Spirit. He said he'd lay his hands on them quietly and bind the spirit that's been operating and trying to talk them out of it. Bind that devil in the name of Jesus, and the person would get filled with the Holy Ghost. But the church don't deal with him. We don't have demons anymore in the church. Not the spirit-filled church. We don't have them anymore. I mean, 90% of the church is filled with them, but we don't have any more. People following religious spirits like crazy. But people don't even know what's going on. They don't even know what's happening to them. It's crazy out there. It's nuts. And they call this stuff being spiritual. Hallelujah. We started in the spirit. Let's stay there. It takes the spirit. We need the spirit of God. We don't have to perform some kind of work to get God to do something. He has to do something. He's waiting for us to respond in him by faith, wanting him to do what he does, not what we do. And thank God. Folks, I believe in doing good works. I believe in walking right and living right. But you don't develop spiritually because you walk right and live right. Dear God, without God, you ain't going to walk right or live right. That's why Christians today don't ever walk right and live right. Because it's all by works. They don't know nothing about the Spirit. They don't know nothing about yielding to God. You know, it just amazes me. I was so amazed, and I talked to the Lord about it this week, because the other day going out for a walk and run. There, I'm being real spiritual, you know. But God starts talking to me, and I end up prophesying. For about 20 minutes, I went along, and God is speaking things out through me, speaking stuff out concerning what's going on in the body of Christ, speaking things out through me. Saying to what's going on. Spoke to me then about these individuals. But I thought about that. I thought, you know, here you are. You're walking along. You're out here. This is the move of the Spirit of God. It sure isn't. I've learned, I just taught my brother Hagin how to yield to things by faith. You know, get over there and yield to something by faith and not by word. Because I said to the Lord, so this is just amazing, because I could sit down and look and think, boy, there's a lot of shortcomings. But you know why he does it? Because I've learned how to yield to him in faith, not based on my performance. That's why it works. Most people, they're waiting to get to arrive to an epitome. It don't happen that if getting a hold of people, it don't go. And that's what religion always has to offer. It always, you got to come to a place. You got to get somewhere. Well, if God's brought something, I believe there's places that you need to walk to and get into. But none of them you can get to except by faith. And it requires God's help to take you there. I don't know how to get there any other way. I don't know how to make it work. I just don't know how to do it. I don't know what these people, you know, their ideas and thinking of. And dear Lord. I mean, you know, and I believe, you know, you get quiet, get away from, you know, things and pray and seek God. But, I mean, I'll be out there walking and running. But you know what? I'm in faith. I'm out by faith. I'm out there by faith. And when I'm talking to God when I'm out there, I'm as in much faith as I am if I'd be on my knees in my bedroom praying. I am still, I talk to God like I believe that there's a God listening to me. I talk to God just like I believe he just wants to talk to him. I just believe he does. Well, he does. The Bible said so. That's living by faith. See, most people are trying to get a hold of God. I know this. He spends more time trying to get a hold of me than I do him. I learned that a long time ago. He's trying to get a hold of me a lot more than Ed's trying to get a hold of him. Dear Lord. I mean, But it has to become real. That's the life of faith. The life of faith isn't out here doing some woo-woo stuff. It's living like God's real. It's living like God's talking to you. It's living like He's responding. He's doing greater things for you than you could ever do. He'll respond. He'll do supernatural. Just living, thinking that way. And that's why, because we're created. And He's like, we're going to find out as we go on and read this thing. Paul talks about being sons of God and who is and who ain't. And there's a lot out here today that ain't sons of God, because they're just going through religious hoops and they've gone through religious things and they never become children of God. And then you got children of God who are never really come in to walk in the light of being a child of God. They're always trying to live by their works. They're always talking about their failings and everything, and what God can't do through them. I tell you, I'm convinced God can do a whole lot more through Ed than Ed has his mind even set to. My God. Dear Lord. So, Paul said that, had told them in verse 4 about, he said, you know, you've suffered all these trials, tribulations. Have you done this for nothing? Have you suffered because you decided to walk in the Spirit? And here's one thing. You walk in the Spirit, you're an oddball. Now, I realized that, and I understood it, but I decided a long time ago. When I listened to Brother Hagin, when I was a young Christian, I used to think, I want to learn to walk in places that this man walked. I want to know God like he does. I don't want this thing. I don't want to just find out about God listening just to him. I don't want to do that. I want to know God like he knows God. And then when we started the church, that's a big thing the Lord told me. He said, I want the people in the church to know me like you do. Well, when he told me that time, I thought, dear Lord, you're in trouble. But I found this out over the years. Every place God has stepped me into to do something, when I think, man, you ought to get somebody else. I'm always shocked to find out that, my words, I didn't think I knew anything until I ran into the people that came. And then I realized they didn't know nothing. But that's your whole Christian life. You need to realize that about the people around you and the Christians around you. Now, this is not bragging, and it's not. It's just a downright fact. I'll tell you, probably in our church, most people know more than 90% of the ministers in town know about God. People are just ignorant. There's an ignorance about God. They're religious. They know a lot of religious things. They got born, and thank God, the ones that got born again, glory, thank God. But I want to talk about knowing God. You can't walk by faith if you don't know Him. You can't. It's knowing Him. It's knowing Him. Your faith is based on your knowing Him. Your faith's not based on just do this, do that. See, everybody likes these books that they put out. Just, well, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that, you do that. They love that stuff. I hate that stuff. I was never good at none of that. I'd always miss 3 of the 4 steps. I wouldn't do them good. I was just never really good at that. But it's one of the things is learning to walk, to me, to walk by faith, really put things on my level where I could understand. It's like, man, I can hook up with a God that's like this. I can hook up. It's just like when I first, what caused me to get born again, when a guy, he gave me a book of how to be led by the Spirit. I thought it was very interesting. I wasn't even a Christian. The guy gave me a book of how to be led by the Spirit. But God used it. But I remember reading the book, and I went to this guy, and I said, because I had been involved in sorcery and stuff, and I said this to him. I said, this is the first Christian that I read a book or even would have known, actually knows, understands the realm of the Spirit. I had up to that time never had talked to a Christian who knew what the spirit realm was like. Isn't it a shame you get a guy, devil worshiper, knows more about the spirit realm than the Christian does? And when I come over, I got born again and come into the kingdom, I was shocked. One of the things is I had learned about faith in the spirit realm, whether it's demonic or whether it's God. If you yield, Satan operates under the same principles of faith. The more he is real, and the more he's real to you, and the more you act like he's real, the more he manifests himself. I can always tell people can't get God to manifest for them. They don't believe he's real. They're not acting by faith. If they're acting like they have to see something, feel something, do something, then it'll be real. That's not what makes it real. He's real. God's real. And when I learned, that's a Satan. Because we had people around when I was involved in the sorcery, the people around doing that. You had the guys who and women who played around with it, who they weren't really into it. They didn't have nothing ever happen. Spirits didn't manifest. But I know the more that I acted in the reality, because when you act like it's real to you, you open up to let it operate. That's how it has to be done. If it's not real to you, it won't happen. It don't operate. It's got to become real. And that's the thing of it is. Act like God's real. Let God be real. I mean, if you get in contact with the inside of you, your inner man does believe he's real. He's in contact with him. He is, and it's real. And the more you live and act like it's real, the more he'll manifest himself, the more he does, the more it's true. It's like the Holy Spirit. When I pray and talk about the Holy Ghost being the teacher and will operate through me, I'm going to tell you what. I'm in faith on that. I believe that the Holy Ghost will operate through me. I believe that's his job to do. If he don't do it, then he's a liar and he don't follow what Jesus said. He'll do it. It's real. The Holy Ghost is real. Say, do you ever see him? Never saw him in my life. I've had him talk to me numbers of times. But he's real. Verse 5 said, you were given the Holy Spirit, and he did miracles among you on the basis of faith. Why would you need to follow the law to continue to have the operation of the Spirit among you? In other words, you start off by thinking, God's going to quit. See, religion is, well, you got to do this. Let me just read here, and we'll do this. Let me see, where are we at here? Yeah, we'll do this in closing. I want to read you it's just a paraphrase that put together on verses 1 through 5, just sort of shortened it in there, basically what Paul was saying. Paul said, oh, you stupid Galatians, who hypnotized and so easily misled you from following the truth, in which Jesus was revealed miraculously to you by the Holy Spirit as crucified. If you were born again by faith in Jesus Christ, why would you be so stupid to think that you will be made mature by works of the flesh? And basically, that's what he was saying to them. Like you go over and you look at the Greek New Testament, that's sort of a synopsis of what it says there. But and it's the whole thing is, God gave us the life of faith, and you need to understand, to follow God, that's the easiest way. There's no other way that's more simple. There isn't. And really, the life of faith is easy. You know, we are born again. We shouldn't have to work up something to make God real in us. We should know he's real. We should know that. And not real like, oh, there's a God out there somewhere. I mean, God should be... you should have a sense that God should be more real to you than the disciples did walking with Jesus Christ. You see, this... The church looks at it. The church today needs something physical all the time. They always need some. God never intended. Would God given us a way that would have been less effective? He didn't. We became temples of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ being alive should be so obvious to us. It should be so obvious. And the whole point is like we're teaching in Sundays. If the reason it doesn't manifest out to the world that he's real is because we want to have miracles, faith is required. It's faith required on our part to bring to pass so miracles can happen, so God can reveal himself and become to the guy out there who doesn't know anything about God, where he gets to see God. One of the greatest things that I think is one of the greatest shames. See, I came into the kingdom during a time of the miraculous and around the miraculous and stuff. So, which was very helpful for me as a Christian. I didn't like it being around Christians who weren't into that area. The ones that just wanted to be nice Christians. I really didn't have much time for them. To me, it's like, what a waste of time of Christianity. Is because... It's two. With God manifested, God becoming real, what was on the inside of you is showing up on the outside. And that's you need that to you need it to happen. But what shows up on the outside shows up because of what you believe. You're not trying to show it up on the outside so you can believe. This is where the church is missing today. Most Christians, they want to go to a Benny Hinn service for Benny Hinn to manifest so they can believe. Because in their churches, they're dead. They got dead ministers that are sitting in their churches trying, and people don't know who they are or what they are, and people are always trying to, you know, you have God in you, and they're trying, no, I have to see Him, but I can't really believe what I got. I don't believe in what I got. And that's not, to me, the fact, if God wouldn't manifest through me, it seems nutty to me that how anybody would think. You know, I have a hard time sympathizing with people in their ignorance. I really do. Because I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like not to believe. When I came into the kingdom, I was taught faith and what my faith. I don't know what it's not to believe. I don't know what's not to be just religious. You know, I lived around that as a sinner and hated it. I hated it. That was the worst thing that ever went on. That was terrible. And all it is, you felt condemned, and you think God didn't like you. And I knew I couldn't perform much, and I just thought, you know, me, I'm lost. God's out to get me. He don't like me. You know, you couldn't think. Now, just a minute. If the operation of God is not by faith, you could not have any good feeling toward God. Because you could not believe that He would have anything good feeling to you. Because if the basis of performance for God is on my works, how could you think God could like you? You have no basis to think He likes you. People say, God, I know God loves me. But I can tell by the way they live their life, you don't believe that God loves them. They're always, He don't need me, and He don't... if that'd be the basis of a man and woman getting married. We love each other, but I don't need her and she don't need me. this is the basis of it. Think about it. Yet Christians sit around and ministers stand up and talk this trash, say this stuff, and then use the term love. There's no love in what they talk about. Christian love in the church world is such a perverted thing. It's a pervert. And they don't realize what perverts they become. You know what? The world sees right through it. The world doesn't want Christ because they already have the kind of love that's being preached from the church. They already got that. They don't like the person they're married to. They already don't like what they don't like what's going on. They don't need them. They already got it. They're living with a neighbor lady saying they love their wife. They already got that. God loves you, but He don't want nothing to do with you. It's just I mean, just think about it. Here's Jesus in the book of Revelation. Jesus talks about a church, the condition that they're in. He said, you know, that they thought they're rich, they thought they got everything. He said, you know, you're naked, you're all this stuff. And he said, but what's happened? Now here's a bunch of people, really. They have closed the door on God. They have closed the door on God. They're living, they're looking, oh, we're doing good because we have money, we're doing things, we've got nice churches, we got nice, oh, we're all right here. Where's God? God say, well, you bunch of scumbag, I'm finished with you. You're dead meat. Jesus saying, I'm standing at the door knocking. Jesus is still trying to get in. Now, Ed wouldn't have been trying to get in. Ed say, burn the place. I'll tell you. Don't we just think about it? This is Jesus. He's still trying to get in fellowship. He still wants fellowship again. He's still calling, giving opportunity. That's the way He is. He is still waiting for somebody in that place to operate by faith. Because that's the only way they can open up to let Him in. It's by faith. They cannot do it by their works. I would bet you that if you would take what Jesus with all that church, those people would have thought they had great works. If you told them God wasn't in their church, well, He has to be. We're wonderful people. We're just really nice folks. Jesus said, I'm at the door and I'm knocking. I want to get into fellowship. Fellowship with God is by faith. It's based on His performance, not ours. It's based on the fact that He wants to do that. Not that, I don't care how much I want Him to. He wants to more than I want Him to. He wants to more than you want him to. I say 1 John 1:9, we miss it. The fact of our confession of sin is to join fellowship because he wants to fellowship. His desire, that's his whole desire, is to fellowship with his people. And the fact that God would talk to people and the fact that ministers would say, I don't believe God talking to you. I believe that's near insanity. That is almost near insanity to be so stupid and to make remarks like that. It only proves to me is the person is probably has a religious spirit, maybe never been born again, has never read the Bible. God was always talking to people. But you know what that guy? God's still at the door knocking. And he's going around saying, God don't talk. Well, you know what? God's still trying to talk to him. And he's saying, well, if God, why don't he talk to me? Well, you idiot, you said he don't talk. You shut yourself off so you can't hear him. You turned yourself off. You turned faith off. You went over to works. No, he can't visit you like he'd like to. He can't do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't get yourself into that syndrome where, you know, I don't know why God don't talk to me. I don't know why God don't reveal himself to me. I used to listen to Brother Hagin. There's one thing as I can say. I never got over the thing and never felt any condemnation to listen to him talk about stuff. All I'd ever think when Brother Hagin would talk is, man, I want to walk there. I want to go there. I want to go to that place. To me, that's where it's all you got. Most people go the opposite direction. They hear somebody say, you know, and Brother Hagin would tell these stories, and some people, well, that's him, and, you know, we can't expect to have. I expect it, man. If it's just for him, then God's a respecter of persons, and all this stuff ain't worth nothing, and I ain't going to be following God. I ain't wasting my time if I can't have it. Why waste your time if you can't have it? You can have it. He'll talk to you. He'll reveal himself through you. He'll do things through you, and it's because of faith in his performance. Hallelujah. That's how you get it done. It's his performance. And you believe he'll perform. He will do what he said and promised that he would do. And don't get any better than that. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight for revealing these good things to us, for showing us, Lord God, these things. Father, I am just so glad you're a God of faith and not of works, because, Lord God, we would always come up short-handed. It would be a constant. There's no way, Lord God, that our performance would ever meet the expectation of a perfect God. But, Lord, our faith in Jesus Christ is perfect. Our faith in what he will do is perfect. And I want to thank you, Lord God, we received a perfect righteousness by faith. We received your very own righteousness, Father God. And I want to thank you, and it was based on any great work that we did. All because we believed on the great work that Jesus did. And Father, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate that. Lord God, that tonight we can stand before you completely righteous, Lord God. Lord, we can sit and the Holy Spirit can teach us and instruct us in the Word. Not based on the fact of all the good things that we did. Lord God, Lord, even the good things that we did that are good. But Lord God, we don't stand in your presence based on that. We don't ask, and we don't need to ask for things based on how good we are. It's all on your promise. Hallelujah. And you're a God of promise. Oh, Lord God, I want to thank you. The blessing of Abraham is on the Gentiles. Lord God, I want to thank you that, Lord, it was the promise of the Spirit through faith. And Lord God, you gave us the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we thank you. We stand before you. We're temples of the Holy Ghost. Not based on our performance, but based on your promise, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we just believed it and received it, and we have it. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. Father, I thank you. You're going to lead us deeper into this walk of faith, Lord God. Lord God, that you become so real to us. Father, that the other things around us, what we can see with the eye or we touch with our hands, Lord God, Father, will never be as real to us as you are concerning the Word. The Word, what the Word says will always be more real than anything in this realm, because, Lord, the Word says that this realm's temporal. Hallelujah. This is a temporary realm. But, Lord God, we're not temporary people. Lord God, we're people of the Spirit. We have eternal life, Lord God. And, Father God, our future and our destiny is eternal. Hallelujah. The unchangeable. And Lord God, we walk in that realm, and we walk in the place of the unchangeable, of the place that is not temporal, but is eternal. And Father God, I thank you, Lord God, it's going to become so real to us in these last days. Father, that the things of this world, Lord God, as the songwriter said, will become strangely dim. Strangely dim. The things in this world, Lord God, and I believe they're getting dimmer and dimmer. Lord, the things in this world are getting dimmer. There's a glory for us to walk into that is, Lord God, and we're going to soon step into it fully. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you. That's the real. And Lord God, that's what's real to us. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.